Hey, Manjit, I will sell you this pen for $1 million.
Nah, I'm okay, thanks.
Just buy it.
No.
Buy the pen.
No.
Just buy the damn pen.
You know, you really need to work on your sales skills.
Hey, guys, so this episode is sponsored by Sales Society. As everyone listening knows, part of starting a successful startup is sales. And Sales Society is a place where you can learn sales techniques and tips to grow your business.
Now, we wouldn't bring you something that we haven't tried ourselves. I personally have used Sales Society's courses and learned how to follow up creatively without nagging, how to re-engage those disappearing clients, as well as how to schedule more meetings that result in closing more sales and getting referrals.
And of course, we got you guys an amazing deal. If you head over to the link in the episode description, salessocietymm.com, and put in the offer code YELLA at checkout, you will get 2 months free Gold Pass access, which means you get full access to all the courses, downloadable scripts, audios, videos, and templates. How awesome is that? Now, Manjit, let me tell you a little more about this pen.
Stop ruining it! Okay, no. No, no, no. We need to say that we started out with... I give up. I can't do this anymore.
Hi, welcome to Yalla. I'm Majid.
And I'm Mishari. And we're starting a podcast company.
So I listen to a lot of podcasts.
And I've made a podcast before. So I guess we're qualified.
What's the worst that could happen?
Don't even get me started.
All right, back in the studio.
We are back. I've missed this. I feel like it's been a while since we've been in here.
Well, we've been kind of busy. We've been like... flying around the world and stuff.
Allah, around the world. Okay, so we've been flying around. And why have we been flying around?
Well, what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about the focus groups we did. We did some focus groups, guys. They were great. We met some awesome people, and they gave us some amazing feedback and information. Shout out to all those guys who participated. And I think, like, the reason we did the focus groups is because we felt, in terms of content, especially Arabic content,
yeah,
you and I are not the...
Let's be very clear. You and I are not the Arabic content experts,
yeah.
And it was critical that we understand what the listenership of Arabic content listen to. What is it they want to hear? Like,
yeah.
Why are they listening to it in Arabic? What in Arabic is it that's interesting for them?
Exactly. So our first focus group was in Dubai.
Watch it.
Our first focus group was in Dubai.
Dubai.
I am not letting your wife yell at me again. Do you want to set the scene for the
sure.
listeners?
Sure. So we were at the Emirates Towers, and well, because we've been so busy, we didn't realize Jitex was on, this consumer electronics exhibition. So we were expecting everybody to turn up on time, and then things were drawing to an extended start.
In all fairness, just one of the first fiascos involved in us running focus groups. So yeah, we had some people who ended up canceling because they couldn't make it because of the traffic. And you ended up walking around grabbing random people.
Yeah, I was using my expertise skills in approaching strangers. So we're here in a meeting room with people sitting around a big table. And we've got our microphone in the middle of the table. And we're asking them questions, and we're really trying to engage in a discussion to really draw out the essence of perhaps what these people would be listening to.
And the first thing we want to talk about was their take on Arabic content. So when we asked who consumed Arabic content on a regular basis, only about half the room raised their hand. And when we asked why this was, one of the participants had this to say.
Because it's literally weak.
It is weak. There is nothing out there.
It's boring?
It's not, there's nothing out there that can top the rest. Let's put it that way. Like, if they're going to come out, they're going to come out.
I have another.
Very weak.
I have another. Yeah, I have another.
So is it, sorry, just to follow that, we'll go to the production value, or is it just the story?
Production and content.
Production and content.
Do you think in English or Arabic?
Arabic.
And when it comes to the relevance of the content...
So it's too commercial here?
No, it's like, it's the same stuff for the last 20 years. No,
yeah. Right. Okay.
There are things that are happening right now. Yeah. Irrelevant.
Okay, so he had a lot to say. We're not going to play the whole clip because he really did have a lot to say. But in all fairness, most of the room was nodding along in agreement.
You see, I feel that the content being produced feels irrelevant to our generation. I mean, look at what we're consuming in social media, and then what you find on the TV or on the radio. It's just, it's not the same world. And the thing is, we grew up with it, but we're so now attuned to how inauthentic it is and how prepped and prepared it is. Yeah. And so when we're watching it, we're going, okay, this isn't how I operate. This isn't my world.
And I think the argument they were making in the room was, if it's not made for me and it's not relevant to me, then I might as well just consume Western content.
Yeah.
And
I think that's, well, you see, the relevance here is talking about what's in with them, what's hip, what people want to, I sound so old.
But you saying hip is the most hilarious thing ever.
I got dad shoes on. No, what I'm trying to say is, if you're consuming music and, you know, youth culture, and you're just, this is where my world is, and then you turn on the news and you're not finding that, and you're not, I mean, the news or all these other medium, you're going to go to where the music's coming from. It's, you know, there's a lot in the Western world and social media.
And the reason why it was important that the question of do you think in Arabic or English was asked was that these are people who do think in Arabic.
Yeah.
So they're not going to Western content for the English. They're going because it's relevant to them.
Yeah.
And I think it became even more clear as to why people don't consume even the local English content when we started asking them why they go to podcasts.
Yeah.
Because it just inadvertently led to local radio and all these other things.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's listen to that part.
Okay, so you go to podcasts for like, you feel like they're more educational than rather than they're necessarily something you listen to.
Yeah.
The relevance is very sort of dosed.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes, 30 minutes. That's
it's great. Yeah. Or if I'm, when it's the radio, it's tune in radio, or I very rarely go. It's so snobby, but I rarely go to kind of the local radio. It's usually BBC Radio 1 or couple of, you know, the other.
No, but there's we're trying to get to the reason why. So do you feel that radio has more that
it has,
content you want?
Yeah, like the music is more interesting. It's not just, and also they don't repeat songs quite as often.
Yeah.
And the kind of the banter between the radio hosts is a little less strange.
Yeah, it's not cringy, it's more authentic.
I mean, Dubai Eye is great, but they talk for a long time.
Yeah.
And I find myself needing a bit of variation.
Dubai Eye is one of the top radio talk stations in Dubai.
Okay, so how do you guys feel about the interaction that happens between hosts on the radio here locally?
It's horrible.
God, I hope they don't feel like that about us in our interaction.
Look, this is as authentic as it gets between you and I.
Yeah, true.
The thing is, it all works over time.
Yeah.
I remember when we started out, we got some good feedback from the listening party.
Yeah.
You know, we've understood about how we need to be able to engage with each other and the listenership. And let's be honest, we started out with like a full script on episode one.
Yeah, episode one was fully scripted, guys. And we recorded it because we didn't know how to kind of do this.
Yeah.
And it was only after the listening party, after we got the feedback and people were like, no, we like it when you guys are organically just kind of like riffing off of each other, that we just kind of have notes on what we want to talk about between the sound clips, which I think works better for us.
So that was the Dubai focus group. Now it's time to step on our adventure to Riyadh.
And an adventure it was. So this is our first video media business trip. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, look, business trip is a nice way to put it. But let me get into what a business trip for a bootstrapping company looks like.
So first, I got a cab and I picked you up.
Yep.
And we drove all the way to Sharjah Airport because that was where the cheapest ticket to Riyadh was from.
Absolutely. We meandered through Sharjah Airport and we waited around in a very busy
waiting area, room.
Yeah, it was a hall with a lot of seats, but that was only after we picked up our coffees from the food court. And finally, when we decided to get on the plane, I remember you thinking, well, okay, we've just got enough time to get on. And then we got there a little early.
Yeah, I misread the time of takeoff. And then we ended up just
standing in line
in the gate because there weren't any seats at the gate. So we ended up standing for 30 minutes. But, you know, it's fine. It happens. Sometimes I just can't tell time. And I also can't tell the difference between left and right when I'm driving. FYI, in case anyone's ever in a car with me. But anyway.
Finally, the flight was really cool. Yeah. We land in Riyadh and then we grab a Uber to our hotel. There was an interesting arrangement where some of the rooms faced inward to a courtyard, but, you know, so that you weren't peeking into other people's room. They had this nice, like, tinting on the glass.
What was it tinting? They just covered the whole window with black plastic so we couldn't see out. People couldn't see in.
I remember thinking, like, oh, it's dark already. And then you start, like, in the corner of the window, it's, like, peeled away, like, part of the black stuff. Anyway. I think one thing I do want to explain, just so people understood, was bootstrapping.
Yes, bootstrapping is Majid's favorite word. It's the word he uses every time I try to buy something nice or do something nice for myself, and then he yells at me and tells me that we're a startup and that we have to bootstrap. Tell them what bootstrapping is, Majid.
Okay, bootstrapping is really to try and build a company on a minimum cost, right? You are trying to shrink and essentially work on as little or as low a cost as possible. And so you bootstrap, or some call it like on a shoestring budget.
So we've arrived at the hotel. I'm horrified.
we're adjusting.
But it's time for, like, we barely had, like, I think 10 minutes in the hotel, and we had to rush out to get to the focus group. So my friend Shadin, who's based in Riyadh, helped set up this focus group. Actually, she helped get the people. She allowed us to use her office.
That was really cool.
Even brought food.
Hold on. Shout out to Shadin. I really ate so well when we were in Riyadh, thanks to her.
Yeah, no. And this was the only focus group where the participants were fed. But so we were there. We were in her offices.
Both in the focus group in Dubai and the one here in Riyadh, there was something that was sort of kept coming up, and it just kept pinging me, which was that everybody wants something visual, even if they're not necessarily watching it and only listening.
I'll tell you first. I was introduced to podcasts by a friend of mine who said that all they do is listen to podcasts.
Okay.
So I downloaded the purple one.
By the purple one, she means Apple Podcasts.
I tried once or twice to listen. I just couldn't get myself to do it.
Okay.
I think this is something personal because my entire life I've been a very visual person. So even in the morning when I'm sitting there for half an hour trying to get ready, YouTube is on and I'm listening to Good Mythical Morning, for example, Philip DeFranco.
Yeah.
And there
Philip
are
DeFranco.
Philip
I love it, yeah.
And there are quite a lot of visual cues that he refers to.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there getting ready, and then when he points or says something, then I look and then I'm back to getting ready.
Yeah.
So even if I'm not visually engaged, the fact that something is playing visually is still, I don't know why, at the back of my mind, it's making me feel like, yes, I'm doing something with my time.
Get me a camera, Majid. The people want to see my face.
This is really, really interesting. So everybody wants these visual cues.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody wants to see. And let's be honest also, we're a curious bunch here in the Middle East, right?
Melgoufine is the word you're looking
okay,
for.
Sorry. Well, I'm the vocabulary. But it was all about, like, get out the visual sort of media. But then people were saying they were just checking out visually.
Yeah, like, she didn't even care to actually be watching the video.
Yeah.
She just wanted the option of looking at it if and so when she chose.
Yeah.
And it's also not just that. Like, the thing that I found was interesting was there were even other people in other focus groups that were talking about the fact that they put on a YouTube video in their car, and then they drive, and then they just look down whenever they're in traffic or at a traffic light.
So let's make this clear. We do not condone watching anything while you drive.
Yeah.
There's enough danger being in a car alone, so please, if you are watching any YouTube, please do not do it while you're driving. Oh my God, is there a hand in here?
So Dilara, the intern, just put her hand up.
We're going to have to do some after-podcast rehabilitation of the team.
Okay.
So listen, there was that. The other big takeaway, especially in the Riyadh group, was how important the accent and that role it plays with Arabic content.
Because the more localized you are, the more they'll be engaged.
Yes.
Yeah.
So instead of doing Fusha, for example.
Yeah. By the way, not our game. Fusha is not where we're gonna go. Like, there's all of the regular media is doing that, and we see the kind of connection you're getting.
Yeah.
Within Saudi, especially when it comes to, like, radio advertisements, there's something called, like, Lahja Saudiya al-Bayda.
Yes.
Literally, basically a Saudi accent that is understood from Jeddah all the way to Qatif, from Jobe all the way down to Jizan. And I did come across individuals on you know, Arabic TV, that different stations, who speak that with the same sort of like white Arabic.
Yeah.
A Jazairi, a Maghribi, an Iraqi could understand it fully.
And then, y'all are mitraq'een bil Inglesi. Now I'm supposed to figure out my accent in Arabic? We're screwed.
Look, I think it's important that we understand that accents make things more relatable.
Yeah.
And I know from my own experience, I speak German, English, some Arabic. I'm working on it.
Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah. But I've noticed that when you approach people in their own accent, they immediately connect. And this obviously plays out in any audio or video medium where they are hearing their own accent back. And,
yeah,
well,
true.
Here, the challenge is we've got a lot of different accents. So this lahja bayda, which is this sort of middle ground accent, is critical to nail, so you're not either alienating or sort of pointing in a certain direction with the content.
No, I think I completely agree with that. And I think that's why it's important for us to, again, highlight the fact that on different shows, we are going to have different hosts, and hopefully those different hosts will have different accents.
Yeah.
So that people will not be annoyed by our American accent continuously.
Or our attempts at Arabic.
Hey.
Look, this was two focus groups, and then this one, they were so rich with their feedback, and it was so small, I was really trying to take in as much as I could in the moment, but I was totally exhausted after it. And literally went back to the hotel, we passed out, and the next morning we had to head to Kuwait.
Yeah, so woke up the next morning, we got to the airport in time, we went to the lounge and sat down. I checked the time of the airplane multiple times to make sure we didn't show up early.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, about 30 minutes before the flight was supposed to take off, the screen says flight delayed till 6:40 p.m.
Yeah, we were about to fly midday or like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 12:50, it was delayed by
six hours. And sort of, I love how our reactions, I was thinking, oh, how are we going to find a way? And you were like action mode. You're like, just go.
I'm sorry, I don't have time for your like calm, laissez-faire attitude. We had to be in the focus group in Kuwait. I think it started at like 7 or something like that. So we did not have time to mess around. Luckily, there was like a flight that was at 2:20.
Yeah.
And so then we tried to figure out how we could like buy tickets to get on that flight with Jazeera Airways. And we literally went to information. They sent us to somewhere else. And then we went to that place. And there was just a security guard there who was like, talk to someone else. And then we tried to talk to someone else. And then he ignored us. And so I was like, screw this. We're going out. And we're going to just buy the tickets from outside. At which point, we go to the guy who's, you know, guarding the passport control area. And we're like, hi. We need to go outside and buy tickets because our flight was canceled. And he was like, let my seal. And I'm like, what do you mean my seal? Point being is, I had to relay to a multitude of people the urgency by which we needed to get out of the airport and back to the check-in counter so we could buy our ticket.
Like, watching you patiently stand in line, like, kafu, yani, mashallah alayk, really practiced sabr or ihtiram. So we didn't have a freak out, and we got those tickets, and then suddenly on the way back into the gate, everybody's like, ha shabab, halaytu al-mishkila, hasalt al-tayara. Like, they were super cool with us. And then we finally shuffle out, only to wait some more. And then we get on a flight, completely exhausted from this.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, no, we barely got to Kuwait in time, which was sad because I really wanted to show you around Kuwait.
I would have loved more time.
It was your first trip. Yeah. We
Hemshay, we saw your mom.
Yeah.
We stopped in at mom's, had really nice cake and tea. I was super happy we got that.
We said hi to mom, and then we got in a car and we had to drive to Shuaikh, which is like the industrial area of Kuwait, and it was super crowded and busy. But yeah, we made it to the focus group, which we did in collaboration with the cross-cultural Diwaniya. Just for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a group in Kuwait, and they organize discussion groups every single month discussing a different topic. It's really, really cool. People come in.
I like the opportunity. There was really gracious of them to let us use their cross-cultural Diwaniya to have a conversation about social media and how you basically engage with it. what we did was we turned up into this really hip sort of industrial area.
Yeah.
And you could see there was, you know, CrossFit gyms and like, you know, third generation coffee. And I really felt at home, hipster paradise or something. Yeah. But we turn up and then there was this really cool like three floor, what was it, cafe cum sort of work area. And at the top, there was this really big, that was big space, yeah, where 30 plus people eventually joined us,
yeah,
and we were handed two microphones and
that because were connected to the speaker
to the system. Speaker system, yeah, exactly. And so what we figured out was, okay, Mushari, you hold this mic and you ask the questions and I will do literally CrossFit for the rest of the evening, pacing back and forth to different speakers. But yeah, it was super, super cool.
No, it was definitely cool. And I think something that surprised both of us was how big social media featured in the conversation in, mm-hmm, in the focus group in Kuwait versus other focus groups, and how much it was used as a source of media,
yep,
in Kuwait. So we can kind of listen to that clip here.
Let's see what they all had to say.
So WhatsApp is a big yes, source of media.
Almost.
And what do you consume on WhatsApp? Is it the videos that are being sent or?
Not videos, the information. Anything that happened in the community, posts, sometimes newspapers, they send it through the WhatsApp. So I read the newspaper through the WhatsApp also.
Can I just ask by a show of hands, who here depends on WhatsApp like messages or forwards or notifications to hear what's happening immediately in terms of news? Okay, so I would say a good third of the room.
A third of the room? Like when I saw everybody's, you know, hands go up, that was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I am one of those people that most people who message me on WhatsApp know I avoid my WhatsApp as much as possible. I tend to like get home and just throw my phone across the room and just avoid it. So the fact that people are so engaged with their WhatsApp and yeah, that's where they get their news.
I mean, I've seen these like circulars and I've heard people say, oh, I heard this on WhatsApp, and it was like, what? And one of the participants brought up something interesting about social media and why we use it actually.
If you look at the Dubai School of Government, their official report, the top two reasons why people use social media in the Arab world is socializing and having news. And that should serve for us as an indicator that our media system, the existing media system within our region, is not really legitimate, or people trying to avoid it, to access more honest news, more non-biased news, and avoid what exists in our region or the media system that we have.
So you bring up an interesting point. By show of hands, who here trusts the mainstream media that is locally produced? So radio, TV shows, newspapers.
For the audio recording, not a single hand is going up.
So how did you feel like in the room when not a single hand went up?
It was like both surprised and then at the same time I was like, wow, like not a single hand. Like I would have thought at least one for maybe the older people in the room. But no, it also gave me an indication of what we're going to be, you know, dealing with. There are a lot of people who want to find the news themselves,
yeah,
will go to a trusted source that they feel they can trust.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to talk about there.
It's like, it's interesting because even one of the participants in the focus group, who was a journalist, she said she went and she was being interviewed for this job, and
yeah,
they were offering her the job at a newspaper, but they told her, just so to be clear,
mm,
because of the laws and because of the regulations,
mm-hmm,
you're not going to be able to report on this and this and this, and
yeah,
we're going to have to censor this and this and this. And it was a big shock to her, especially because she's not originally from the region.
Yeah.
So I think it's also very important for us to kind of to go back to the point where she was talking about censorship and stuff like that. I mean, legal ramifications is something we always have to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Starting a media company in this region.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you always have to remember, oh, wait, I can say this in this country, but I can't say this in that country. And if I'm in that country, then that's legal. And if that country, okay,
it's,
you know what I mean?
It's funny that we make this a big deal here, but mm-hmm, that's happened in Europe.
Yeah.
It's happened in Europe where there's defamation or there's somebody speaking out of turn. It's happened in the States to certain extents.
I think there's a very big difference between slander and defamation.
Yeah, sure, okay.
And between censorship
from
higher up.
Yeah. I just, what I'm trying to say is exactly the it's not, it's nothing new. It's just the degrees of variation. Let's put it that way.
But either way, what was very clear is that there is a big trust issue.
Yep. So there's trust issues, but when we went back to the focus group, they were also saying that media is not relevant to them anymore. I mean, just what is out there in the media, it's just not what they want to hear or see.
To what you're saying, what I'd like to see is just more like active manufacturing of culture, like new movies that speak to what's going on now. We're like stuck in this pearl diving age, and we just keep repeating it when there's a lot of opportunity to doing new things, what's currently happening now, like exploring that in terms of media, art, what have you.
So there's a lot that, for example, the Musasarat and Mount Oman, they're set in today's age. Tell me about that.
Discuss.
I guess I don't watch them a lot.
So they're set in today's day and age, which is what you're asking for. So what are they not giving you?
I guess the type of depth I'd like to see, like this is what's subjective, but I'd be into like something like Black Mirror, you know, deep societal commentary, something more political, informative. That's just where I usually tend to naturally anyway. So it's just more that being manufactured here.
So Majid, we're going to create the next Black Mirror. Episode 1, people can only communicate through WhatsApp.
I think we're going to save ourselves that journey. Listen, this has been so intense with all the different focus groups. There's one thing I did want to sort of bring up that really caught me also on our way out from the focus group in Kuwait. There were some of the participants were saying, look, the problem is there's also a lot of these narratives going around in media that are not relevant anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, the helpless female.
Yeah, that doesn't have any power.
Yeah,
and that's just mesquina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've got a lot of female empowerment in this region, and it's surging forward. Then there was also this whole sort of, you know,
old school
domestic sort of
male situation. That, you know, doesn't allow his wife out of the house anymore, and all that kind of stuff. Like a lot of just these negative narratives
and stereotypes. They're really sort of self-replicating stereotypes in the media that are really unfortunate. We have so many young progressive people, and I think it was important to highlight that needs to be removed from the circulation.
So, I mean, there were a lot of good points from the focus groups, and we don't have time to discuss them all. I mean, this is literally maybe less than 1% of the audio that we have from those focus groups.
I remember being sort of mind was full and almost like buzzing with ideas and exhausted at the same time.
Yeah.
But the whole journey had to come to an end. We got in the car.
And took you to the airport.
Took me to the airport.
Adventure over.
Which brings me to the end of the episode. And I'm thinking, what are we doing between now and the next episode?
We're giving the people what they want, Majid, right? I mean, we did all these focus groups, so hopefully there was a point to all of it. So guys, we're working on a third show that is going to be in Arabic. So hopefully they'll get to hear about how that's going. And maybe we could even try seeing if we can get the host on here, or they can hear from the host. We'll see. And we're also going to try to do some video content, since people want to see your pretty, pretty face, Majid.
Oh, man. You mean I can't turn up like this to the studio anymore?
No. No. Not that I think you should have been turning up to the studio looking like that. Anyway.
All right. Well, if that's the case, guys, join us on the next episode to find out what our new show is going to be about. Also, let us know whether you guys agree with the points that were made in the focus groups, or disagree for that matter. You can find Yalla on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anghami, or wherever else you get your episodes from. This has been a production of Finial Media, recording out of Dubai. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we love your feedback, so keep it coming. This is Majid saying Ma'a Salama.
Bye, guys.
Hey Majid, I will sell you this pen for $1 million.
Nah, I'm okay, thanks.
Just buy it.
No.
Buy the pen.
No.
Just buy the damn pen.
You know, you really need to work on your sales skills.
Hey guys, so this episode is sponsored by Sales Society. As everyone listening knows, part of starting a successful startup is sales. And Sales Society is a place where you can learn sales techniques and tips to grow your business.
Now, we wouldn't bring you something that we haven't tried ourselves. I personally have used Sales Society's courses and learned how to follow up creatively without nagging, how to re-engage those disappearing clients, as well as how to schedule more meetings that result in closing more sales and getting referrals.
And of course, we got you guys an amazing deal. If you head over to the link in the episode description, salessocietymm.com, and put in the offer code YELLA at checkout, you will get 2 months free Gold Pass access, which means you get full access to all the courses, downloadable scripts, audios, videos, and templates. How awesome is that? Now, Majid, let me tell you a little more about this pen.